What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you do? How do you do, people? I hope that you had a fantastic Monday. I hope you're set up for an even better Tuesday. Here's the thing. None ya can be doing any worse than Sam Darnold, who probably cost himself about $75 million last night.
I don't think that was entirely his fault. It's called an offensive line that cannot block anybody on the other side.
Gotta get rid of the ball.
You're really going to blame that on him? Look at that. I mean, dude just went right through the guard and the tackle slot, was untouched. Of course you're going to – I mean, the offensive line looks like they got a little money paid to them by somebody else and said, hey, you know, if you just kind of move to the left just a little bit, we'll be good.
If I may twirl the mustache here for just one second, does anybody remember why I said I was picking the LA Rams to win that game? Does anybody remember, if I recall correctly, what I said?
That was a long time ago.
That's okay. I'll refresh you. Don't worry. Happy to do it. If I recall correctly,
you're not nearly as smooth as you think you are. I mean, that was
nothing but the bottom of the can.
It was almost a no look.
Didn't even touch the sides of the can. Went straight to the floor. Are you kidding me? Let me twirl the old curly mustache here for just a second, and remind you why it is that you all know that Rob Brown knows ball. Rob Brown told you going into that game he was picking the Los Angeles Rams. For one reason and one reason alone. Rob Brown said the Detroit Lions put the blueprint for beating Samuel Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings onto film. And that if there was a coach in the league that you don't want to allow to know your kryptonite, it's Sean McVay and the Rams. That is the most, and I say this sincerely, not most talented. I think the LA Rams are the most well-coached team in the National Football League.
Well, there's
top
also
to bottom, left to right, up to down, front
there's
back.
Also a thing called emotion, and when emotion is playing with you, which it is right now, it will take you to a different level.
I agree.
We've seen it happen before on many different levels.
I agree. Listen, I was, and we're going to talk about this later in the show, dude. I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. I understand. I understand that there are times, especially when you are in the midst of catastrophe, that a team who is made up of human beings who feel things and have emotions, at least some of us do, that a team will often shoulder the city, will pick the city up, and will go represent and play for them. I'm a Saints fan. I know that as well, or if not better than anybody else. And emotion has a lot to do with it. There ain't no doubt about that. Has a lot to do with it. But I also want to say, emotion don't mean a damn thing if you ain't got a scheme to put it into, if you don't have a channel for it, right? You can't go out there and play really emotionally, but not have a scheme, not have a plan, not have a blueprint. So there was the added advantage of Sean McVay having a team that wanted to put the city of Los Angeles and the surrounding Los Angeles area on its back. But you still got to know what the hell you're doing. And I said going into that game that I was picking the Rams for one reason and one reason alone. I said it on this show. I said it on BetMGM Tonight last week. I said it on Bet for the Cycle on Saturday. When it came down to it, the LA Rams got the blueprint on how to knock off the Minnesota Vikings. And I will even point out and go so far to pull a trap by patting myself on the back. There was one particular player that I called out by name, Jared Verse, who BT Dubs scored a tutty last night. Sometimes, and this is something I think is lost to a lot of folks. Sometimes this game isn't that hard. You can get caught up in schemes and concepts and plans and tactics and all that. But sometimes this game ain't hard. Sometimes you see what works and you do that. Or you see what's not working and you stop doing that. Last night, the Los Angeles Rams looked at what the Detroit Lions did and said, yeah, that worked. We're going to do that. So what they do? They got it. They got after it. They blew up the Vikings' offensive line. They put heat on Sam Darnold. Sam got to the point where he was not seeing the football field anymore. He was seeing the rush. And if I can get a quarterback's eyes away from my defensive backs, away from the field, if I can get a QB's eyes down and looking at the rush, I win. 100 out of 100 times, I win. And that's what the Rams did last night. They got Sam. You can go back and look at some of the sideline angles and stuff. Watch Sammy D. He gets the snap. The eyes go up, and then somebody breaks, and the eyes come down, and he's looking at the rush. If you're looking at the rush, you know you're not looking where you want to throw the football. I called this game perfectly. Won money last night because I called this game perfectly. This game was easy. This game was easy. The Detroit Lions put on the map the blueprint for beating the Minnesota Vikings. And just like I said they would, Sean McVay and the Rams said, yeah, we're going to do that. It's not that complicated. It's not that simple. It's not that difficult. This is easy. We just got to get back there and blow up Sam Darnold, and we know how to do that now. And here's the thing. Because I was texting back and forth last night with one of the suits up towards the top of the BetQL network, for whom I do Bet for the Cycle every Saturday, noon to 4. We were texting back and forth, and he's like, damn, Rob Brown, you nailed this game. I'm like, yeah, no, I know ball, dog. I'm good at what I do. And he goes, what clicked? What was the thing for you? And I said, real simple. The LA Rams have a very good defensive line. The Detroit Lions are the most banged-up defense maybe in the history of the National Football League. In terms of number of starts from week one starters, I don't know the exact numbers. But in terms of starts missed by week one starters, I have got to imagine the Detroit Lions are up towards the top of the all-time list. I said the Lions were nowhere near their week one defense in terms of guys, in terms of dudes. They were nowhere near it. And if the Detroit Lions effectively backups can get back there and make Sam Darnold look like New York Jets icy ghost Sam Darnold, then in what world can't Jared Verse and the Rams, who have a better defensive line and arguably front seven than Detroit? I'm not talking better in terms of numbers and performance. What I'm talking about is better in terms of talent on paper. The Lions are just banged up. Alex Anzalone out there for the Lions, who I'm a big fan of. I'm a big fan of baby Thor. Love this guy. Former New Orleans Saint. Wish we would have kept him. A lot of Saints out there. Zach Bond for Philly. Trey Hendrickson for Cincinnati. A lot of former Saints out there killing it right now. Do you hear me, Mickey Loomis? I'm tired of it. That's a me thing. Okay? Put that aside. I'm a big fan of Alex Anzalone and what Detroit has built. Because Anzalone's a guy that a lot of people, including myself, wrote off. Good backup, good special teams guy. Not going to be a stud. He gets up there to Detroit, and Dan Campbell has built something that goes, no. Those are the kind of guys we thrive with. Those heart players, those grit players, those gut players. And if you can build that culture, it'll work. Again, look at Detroit. Problem is, you got to have that kind of head coach. You got to have a Dan Campbell. You got to have a Matt Vrabel to have that kind of, Mike Vrabel, pardon me. You got to have a Mike Vrabel to have that kind of culture, that kind of gritty culture. And not a lot of teams have that coach. Detroit does. So what I'm saying is, not in terms of performance, but in terms of on paper, in terms of what they have talent-wise on paper, the Rams arguably to me have a better front seven than Detroit does. More talented. And if they're more talented in that spot, then what does that tell you? It tells me that whatever it was that Detroit was doing, LA can replicate it. And they did. They blew up the line. They got to Sam Darnold. They made him see ghosts. And they sacked him 9 times. That is tied for most sacks in a playoff game in NFL history. 9 of them last night. Now, I started by saying what? You all got to be doing better on a Tuesday than Sam Darnold, who played himself out of about $75 million. Because the thought was, when this team was running up 14 wins, Sam Darnold's getting a $100 million contract. I've never agreed with that. I told you all season, as well as he is playing, NFL teams are going to look at Kirk Cousins and what he did in Atlanta this year, and they're going to go, no. We're not giving a cat $100 million to test the theory. Has Sam Darnold stopped seeing ghosts, or is he the beneficiary of playing in the Minnesota Vikings system with the skill position talent around them? You know, another thing Rob Brown's been screaming about for a year and a half now. Kirk Cousins is fine. He's okay. But at his age, he's at best a tutor for Michael Penix Jr. Called that shot before week one. You're overpaying him, Atlanta. You're giving him too much money for a guy who I got a lot of respect for, a lot of love for. I got a Coles card too, bud. I'm a big khakis guy, all right? Half of what's in my house, Kirkland brand. Big fan. I was drinking Kirkland brand wine watching this game last night. They got a Spanish red. Mwah! Magnifique. It's spectacular. Big Kirkland's guy. Love Kirk Cousins for that reason. However, Kirk Cousins had the benefit of playing him in Minnesota in Kevin O'Connell's system, a system which elevates the quarterback and stacks absolute dudes around him. Been saying that for a year and a half now. And everybody said, no, Rob, Kirk Cousins is him. He said, all right, let's see what happens. He made it, what, 9 weeks, 10 weeks before they yanked him, because the Falcons, when he hit his bottom, went 1-4, and Kirk had 1 TD to 9 picks. That ain't it. And I said, leading up to these playoffs, that's Sam Darnold, too. I like Sam Darnold. I do. I got no issue with Sam Darnold. But I think sometimes we get caught up in the narrative we want to see. Would it not have been an incredible narrative for Sam Darnold to play for a bleep Jets franchise and then go to a bleep Carolina franchise, spend a year as a backup for the 49ers, and then get shipped up to Minnesota and show the middle finger to every one of them teams and go, y'all missed, y'all blew it? That's a great narrative. But the NFL is not a fairy tale book, man. It's just not. He's just not that guy. He's not that good. He, like Kirk Cousins, that I told you last offseason, benefited by being in an offense on a team that understands how to elevate the quarterback and then positioned a world-class skill set around them. Do you understand how good Minnesota would be if I dropped Patrick Mahomes in there? They would be undefeated. I'm serious. They'd be undefeated. Do you understand how good Minnesota would be if I dropped Josh Allen in there? They'd be undefeated. Lamar Jackson, they'd be undefeated.
By the way, you act like it's that far-fetched of them. I mean, what was the record?
14-3 after the loss to Detroit in Week 18.
Wow, they'd be 3 games better if you had all the...
The 3 games they lost were the 3 most important games of the season. They just were. And then they got their asses kicked in the only playoff game they will be in this year. Not lost, got smoked by the LA Rams. I mean, that's it. When we started these playoffs, we did a list of the teams that we thought were sneaky dangerous, and we did a list of the teams that I thought were probably getting a little bit too much credit. The Vikings were at the top of my list of teams I thought were getting too much credit. That team got dragged not by Sam Darnold, but by Jefferson, by the play calling, by Hockenson, by the skill players, of which they are there's a lot. But I said the morning after the Week 18 game between the Vikings and the Lions, the morning after, I sat in this chair, I hopped on this mic, and I said what? LA's got the blueprint. Vikings are screwed. Now, I will agree with what Lonzo opened the segment with. There was a lot of emotion in that building last night. I thought Andre Whitworth opening it up was a very nice touch. I thought all the things Jason Kelce had to say in the pregame, nice touch. I thought the repeated commercials and advertisements asking for donations and all that, absolutely do that. Take advantage of this enormous platform. There was a lot of emotion in that building to push the LA Rams. You know what else there was in that building last night? A metric bleep load of Minnesota Vikings fans. I mean, honestly, that was a Vikings home field advantage last night. And again, remember, I talked about this. I talked with Cody Decker last Saturday. He said, Rob, the stuff that nobody takes into consideration when you talk about home field advantage, it's not just about having more fans than they have fans. It's about not having to get on a bus and get on a plane and unpack from a suitcase and sleep in a weird bed in a weird room and eat catered food and not home. It's about the home cooking. It's about spending the night with your wife before that who can kind of center your chi, or spend time with your lady friend that lives in your city and center yourself a little bit. It's about sleeping in your own bed and being able to set the room up the way that makes you comfortable. It's about not having to get on a bus and a plane. You hop in your own Lexus to drive to the stadium. It's about all these different things. So the emotion was absolutely there. The Vikings fans turned up. The fact that the Vikings had that much going for them, that amount of fans, had the Rams playing effectively a road game, even with all the emotion that was in the building, at the end of the day, the Rams had the blueprint, they had the talent, and the Vikings, I think, were maybe, I've been saying all year, half joking, that I think the Kansas City Chiefs are maybe the least impressive 15-win team of all time. The Minnesota Vikings are the least impressive 14-win team I've ever seen. They were just over. They had a quarterback, again, that I liked, that I was rooting for. But at the end of the day, Sam Darnold ain't him. And the Rams knew that going in, so they attacked, they sacked him 9 times, they got him seeing ghost, and they worked him, just like I said they would. All right, we got a lot we got to get to. A lot of national championship talk today. Lonzo's Buckeyes playing for another natty coming up on Monday, but the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are standing in the way. We'll get into that. We'll talk about the division round of the playoffs and more as the Rob Brown Show rolls on here on the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Tuesday AM, Rob Brown and the great one Alonzo with you here on the show. If you want to be a part of it, now's your opportunity. 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. That's the number to get on the phone. That is the number to text the show as well. 844-326-3663. 3663. Texture said, the national championship game, two of the most hated brands out there will play for the national championship. It will be Just See TV, and they will bring in viewers that hate the SEC only. These ratings will be bleep. Lonzo, where you fall on that? You believe that? You buy into that?
It's a typical comment from people who are conference fans. I mean, doesn't that sound like an SEC fan? Well, not, SEC haters are the only ones who are going to watch this. Come on.
Haters.
Dude. Come on.
Haters.
Since the beginning of the season, Ohio State's been picked to play in and win the national championship. I mean, maybe you didn't believe Vegas, but I mean, that's on you.
You were the odds-on favorite to start the year, weren't you?
Yes.
I think you dipped down for a while. You dipped down below Texas for a little while. You dipped down below Oregon about half. Well, basically, after you lost to Oregon in the regular season, you dipped down behind the Ducks. But
no, I think it stayed there the entire time, at least according to the TV commentary. I never looked myself because there's so many different sites to look at to figure out which one's the one. But according to all the TV commentary, every time I watched a game, they would say, you know, that Vegas has Ohio State winning the national championship.
Yeah, I thought, and I could be wrong.
I think the bigger surprise is Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is the bigger surprise. I think when Notre Dame was a top 10 shortest odds when the year started, but they cratered after that loss to Northern Illinois. The powerhouse, the juggernaut of Northern Illinois. The Huskies, by the way. I know that because I saw them play in the Birmingham Bowl 100 years ago. And I got to tell you, the like 77 Northern Illinois fans that came down to watch their team play in a bowl game were some of the nicest people I've ever seen. They were great.
All I know
big
is,
Husky guy.
Is people like the texter needs to look at the latest stuff from your mouthpiece, Paul Feinbaum, and the stuff that he's been saying, is that the SEC needs to wake up.
There has been Becker's on this rant. Who else? There was somebody else. Was it Dan Patrick was on this rant, I think. There were some talking heads, some national talking heads that have been hammering this narrative that, SEC, you're not on top anymore, are you? And, you know, look, I think there's a lot of us that have believed for a very long time that, yes, the SEC is probably the deepest conference in football, but it's the fact is the gap from them to everybody else maybe not as wide as they want you to believe that it is. And I think with the combination of an expanded playoffs that lets more people in, NIL in the transfer portal, I really think it's just parity around the league. I still think you're going to have more often than you do not I still think more often than not, you're going to have big dogs playing for the Natty. You're still going to have the blue, what do they call them, the blue chip teams?
Blue Bloods.
The Blue Bloods.
And you do.
You're still going to have
the Blue Bloods. These are two of the Blue Bloods.
For sure.
Playing.
For sure. All four teams in the semifinal were the Blue Bloods. The Elite Eight, if you will, had a couple of teams that weren't Blue Bloods. Boise State, Arizona State. But by and large, it's going to be predominantly the Blue Bloods. Because even with the portal and NIL, these teams will not be as deep as these teams used to be. But the best players are still going to go to the universities that can offer the most. And those are the Blue Bloods, like we talked about.
And it's not just, it is about offering, but it's also about the prestige of those places. The Blue Bloods have a reputation of being the best. So if you go there and you say, hey, I play for this team, one of those that when you think of college football, you think of one of those teams, then of course you're going to go there.
For sure.
If the money's about the same everywhere, why not go to one of those?
I would hold off. I would say,
I said
sure. If Sheriff.
It's
Sheriff
okay.
Lonzo. Sure, if the money's the same. But I would also point out that, and this is something that that has to be considered as well. I would also point out that the money being the same is one thing. You know, it's not the same. The amenities, right? The amenities. If I go to Clemson, I've seen their rec room. It's a great place to hang out. I've seen the resources that they provide. I will tell you right now, and I say this with great and immense respect to Clemson. Go take a tour of Alabama's locker room. And if you're a 17-year-old kid trying to decide where you want to spend the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years of college, I'm going to tell you right now, Alabama's locker room is the nicest spa I've ever been to. It's unbelievable. LSU builds there was a whole fight a couple of years back because LSU built a new locker room and then like 2 years later wanted to knock it down and build another multi-million dollar football locker room. And there was a big fight because all the other sports on campus were like, yo, your locker room is a 5-star resort that most people would pay $100,000 to spend a week in. And you want to knock down that to build an even nicer one while the track and field team is, you know, riding a bus to the other side of SEC country. This ain't it. That's kind of part of it. But again, even if I have the nicest amenities in the world, if I'm going to go to Alabama and they're going to say, yeah, you're going to sit for 2 years, then you're going to play in your third year, versus somebody calls me from NC State and goes, bro, you are a starter tonight if you come here. As soon as you're on campus, you're going to the top of the depth chart. Yeah, maybe we don't have the facilities and all that, but we got a lot of fans. We got a good NIL collective, and you're starting today. All right, we change it up. The point here is, what made the SEC the deepest conference for a long time, I genuinely believe, is the cause of the downfall. And it's hard to say downfall. This is year one of the 12-team format. And the SEC had what? Two teams in the Elite Eight, one team in the Final Four. It's a little early to say downfall of the conference, but I don't think it's too early to say the regression to the mean of the Southeastern Conference. And I believe that regression to the mean of the SEC has been caused by the thing that made the SEC so good, so dominant for so long. That is to say, the SEC, and Saban can get as mad at Shane Gillis as he wants. For so long, it was well known by fans to the point of being a joke around the college football community that SEC schools were hitting those $500 handshakes with players, that players were being taken care of. You had car dealerships. You got the joke about Dodge Chargers making up half of the parking spots in Alabama's Fieldhouse parking lot. Not a joke. Not a joke. So you've had that for so long that when the NIL kicked in, for a lot of these schools, not all. And again, I think, for instance, South Carolina has done a commendable job with their NIL collective. But you had so many of these schools that had had the way that they have done things in place for so long that to get caught up with distribution of funds in the NIL world, it took them a little while. Whereas Ohio State and Notre Dame jumped all over it, embraced it. And before you pop off and go, wait a minute, Rob, I think you're overblowing this whole thing. Really? There's a coach right here in our hood that for a couple of years now has been taking a lot of heat for what? Not using the portal, not embracing NIL. Dabo Swinney, he knows all about that, right? It took him a couple of years to embrace this. And what happened to Clemson in those couple of years? Hey, you're still a good team. You're still hanging around. You're still winning the ACC. Arguably, at best, the fourth best conference of the Power Four. Like, you're still hanging around. But you ain't what you were back in 2018. You ain't that squad anymore. To the point that, by the way, we got Dabo's first major defensive coordinator candidate. I'll tell you who that is in a minute. And would you look at that? Where's he going to find his new DC? Is he hiring internally? Is he promoting a Clemson guy? Is he bringing up one of his babies from inside the program? No, sir. Where's Dabo going to get his new, DC from? Penn State, who just played in a national college football semifinal. Penn State, that's where he's getting his new DC. Dabo, I think, has had to embrace. Maybe I don't like these things, but if I want to be successful, I got to be a part of that. I think the SEC was so stuck in their ways for so long, and those ways made them the dominant conference. They were so stuck in those ways for so very long that when college football very abruptly changed, it took them some time to get caught up. It may still be taking them some time to catch up, with a couple of exceptions, South Carolina, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. It's taking the rest some time to catch up. And all these other schools that embraced it immediately a couple of years ago when it started, they're profiting from that right now. Ryan Day and the Buckeyes are profiting from that right now. Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame are profiting from that right now. So we'll see. We'll see if that holds up or with another year of learning in the new system, if the SEC goes right back up to the top. We'll find out. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you talking some college football here on the show. Notre Dame, Ohio State University, 6 days away from the national championship. I want to talk about these two head coaches, Marcus Freeman, Ryan Day. We know the narratives behind both of them. We know the narrative behind Marcus Freeman takes over from Brian Kelly. Fambly! There were question marks. Young guy, very different breed of cat from Brian Kelly. Like the antithesis of Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly was old. He was angry. Not really a dude that, at least I got a whole lot in common with. Ain't got Marcus Freeman. He's young. He's hip. He's cool.
Wait. So how old is he?
Brian Kelly?
And how old are you? You compared yourself to young and hip. I'm just saying, I mean, you got to make that transition sometime.
Let me ask you this question, and I mean this sincerely. If you had to send me out on a bro date with either Brian Kelly or Marcus Freeman, and you get $1 million if I come back and said I had a great time, which one of those two dudes are you sending me out with?
Brian Kelly.
Shut up. No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not.
I would have a great time
only in that I would just keep yelling, family!
It's a lifestyle thing. Look at one lifestyle, look at the other. You probably fit better with one than the other.
Yeah, Marcus Freeman.
No, I don't think so.
I'm young.
No.
I'm cool.
No.
I'm good looking.
Okay. Well, all right.
I will tell you that as a player, 100% I'd rather play for Marcus Freeman.
I'm also guessing that one will hang in the bar and the other won't. I'm just saying. So you're gonna if you want to go out to a conservative kind of meal and stuff with Marcus Freeman, you go ahead. But you're gonna go hang out and party with Brian Kelly.
I do not think I don't know Brian Kelly's late night proclivities, so to speak. I am sure Marcus Freeman's got like 6 kids. I think he's got like 4 daughters and a couple of sons or something like that. So yeah, Marcus Freeman probably isn't exactly hitting up the blind horse with me.
Right. I'm just, and this is looking from afar, I think you would have a better time with Brian Kelly.
I don't think I would. Because I think Brian Kelly is an angry, consistently.
Marcus Freeman's taking you out for a family meal, which means you're going to have to.
What's wrong?
You
got
nothing.
I can enjoy a good
watch
family.
What you say.
Sorry,
and,
a good
and all the,
family
all that
meal.
Kind of stuff. You go out with Brian Kelly, you can open up.
I mean, that's
true. You're probably going to an Irish pub or something. I'm just saying. I think it's a bad analogy for you.
The point here is, Brian Kelly's not a dude I think I would like Marcus Freeman is, all right? I've seen plenty of Brian Kelly. I think Brian Kelly's a bit of a fraud, all right? I just do. I think Brian Kelly's a bit of a fraud. The point here is Marcus Freeman, to me, seems pretty genuine, straightforward. Seems like he is on camera who he is behind the scenes, and that's a dude I think I'd get along with. But the point here is when Marcus Freeman came in and took over, there was a lot of questions about his ability to navigate taking this Notre Dame brand and elevating them and getting them back where Irish fans want to be. Now, I think he's done that. I mean, obviously he's done that. He's playing for a national championship, but you get the point. You get the point. I think Marcus Freeman is the type of cat that is going to make a lot of schools reevaluate the way that they hire head coaches. I think Marcus Freeman is the prototype of what I want in a head coach in this new modern contemporary era of college football. I think he is the prototype of what I'm looking for here. I think he is the prototype of, this is the coach I want to lead the dudes. Young enough to connect with them. I was listening to, there was a clip going around, and I wish I would have saved it. There was a clip going around, I'm going to see if I can find it real quick, of Aaron Glenn, the Lions defensive coordinator, who is one of, along with Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, one of the most sought after head coaching candidates in the National Football League. And I don't think he was just saying this, but Aaron Glenn was asked, like, what would you say is the most important thing that you can do to communicate with young players? And Aaron Glenn's response was, you've got to be able to talk to them, to relate to them. You've got to be able to have communication where you're on the same level. And with college kids, that's not any less important. It's just way tougher to do. It's just that's the reality of talking to a 17-year-old man versus a 22-year-old man. And a 22-year-old man versus a 37-year-old man or a 30-year-old man or, hell, a 26-year-old man. I will tell you right now, Saturday night I went up to Asheville. One of my old fraternity brothers from back in the day who lives out in Seattle was up in Asheville for a month. He works for FEMA. And he's up there. There's still disaster relief efforts going on from FEMA about Helene. So he works for FEMA, and he called me. He's like, yo, dude, I'm up in Asheville. You want to come up and we'll check out a brewery or two. And I was like, yep. So I drove up there. We have a conversation. And I haven't seen this kid, mind you. I haven't seen this kid since probably 2008. So last time I saw him. I mean, we've stayed in contact, right? Everybody's got Facebook. We've stayed in contact. But I haven't seen him in that long. So I drove up there and we met up. And we talked for probably 10, 15 minutes. And he's like, dude, you are a completely different person than I remember you being. And it's true. And I will tell you this. I was a completely different person at 35 than I am coming up on 40, and 30 than I was at 35, and 25 than I was 30.
Different how?
It would be easier to list the similarities than it would be the differences. My political philosophies have changed entirely. My personal convictions in different aspects of my life have flip-flopped entirely as I have developed as a human being. Just about anything. I would say the only things that remain the same are I'm still loud and annoying most of the time. I'm still the life of most parties I attend. But like most of the ways that I view and attack life, not all of them. I've always been in this industry. I've always worked hard at it. But like most of my views and philosophies on life have changed. The point here is I was a different person to talk to and communicate at 35 than I am 40. So, of course, it's going to be harder to communicate with a 17-year-old than a 25-year-old. They're not as developed, matured, etc. And so in order to, and I think Aaron Glenn's philosophy is right, in order to coach a kid, you've got to be able to coach the kid. And to coach a kid, you've got to, and by kid, I'm talking NFL players up till, you know, Brady's age. To be able to develop those people, you have to be able to relate to them. And they have to be able to relate to you. You have got to be able to meet somewhere on a common ground. If you're ever in a position of management of any type, I'm not saying you got to be friends. I am saying you better find some common ground. And that common ground might be the work that you do itself. It might be, oh, you're a dad, I'm a dad. It might be, oh, you like football, I like football. You got to find some common ground because tribalism is wildly, wildly important in human beings. Marcus Freeman, being a young dude, a hip dude, as the kids definitely still say, and somebody who, frankly, compared to most other coaches, are not nearly as far removed from their days in a helmet as a lot of other guys. I think Marcus Freeman is the type of dude that has found that common ground with his team, and they have latched on him. There is a video of Marcus Freeman being introduced to the Notre Dame football team after the, remember, Brian Kelly just left, right? Like, he was the coach one day, and then 10 minutes later, he's in the locker room going, I'm out. I'm heading down to Baton Rouge. Y'all be good. See you. Deuces. Peace. Later. Bye, Felicia. I'm out. And the team was taken aback. And then Marcus Freeman walks in and is introduced as the new head coach of the Notre Dame Irish football team. And the team lost its mind. Why? Because they're connected with that dude. And I think you've seen that play out. They lost that game to NIL. Go back and watch the next 2 or 3 weeks of Notre Dame football after that. That's a team that gelled. That's a team that hardened around Marcus Freeman. And I think it's worked out. Narrative on the other side about Ryan Day. And Zoe is obviously far more equipped to talk about this than I am, even if I do know ball. What if I asked you, Zoe, what is the, it can be surface level, it can be I heard this dude on an interview, whatever. If I asked you to define or explain the relationship between the Buckeye football team and Ryan Day, how would you describe it or define it? Or could you?
All I know is lately, Ryan Day has heard the narrative and he's angry and his players are angry for him and with him.
Yep.
And you can see it with each victory afterwards. Just the look on his face, he is still so ticked and so are his players.
Remember the controversy when, was it Lou Holtz?
It was Lou Holtz. Yes.
Lou Holtz in 2023, Lou Holtz came out and said this Buckeye team isn't tough. This Buckeye team isn't tough. And then they went out and won whatever game was up next. They came out and won it. And Ryan Day, in the interview after that, was like, I ain't heard from Lou in a minute. I wish I knew where Lou was right now, right? And the players reiterated that. Like, the players were getting after it. Well, it's the same thing this year. It's the same thing this year in that if you look at some of the interviews and you read some of the things that the Buckeye players have been saying, if you go pay attention to it, you can kind of hear that I think they're genuinely like ticked off about the narrative being built around their coach.
And you can't avoid it because it's you know, Stephen A. Smith's talking about all the big names on TV are saying he needs to be gone. And, you know, if that's your guy and you're seeing all this, it's going to really make you mad. And it can either cause you to combust and make stupid mistakes, or it can cause you to rally behind the guy who's in charge of your team. And that's what they seem to be doing.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything incorrect about that at all. This is a dude that Buckeye team seems to have rallied around, just like Will Howard, by the way, right? But that team gelled around Ryan Day and I think wanted to defeat the narrative for their coach. Not have their coach go out there by himself and take all the heat from the narrative, but to go out and defeat the narrative on his behalf. And I think by and large, they have done a pretty good job of that overall. And so in putting that together, I think that there's a lot of credit that is deserved to Ryan Day, a lot of credit that should be discussed for Ryan Day, based on the fact that he got this team, whether he did it intentionally or not, he got this team to want to go to bat for him. And they did, and look at where they are now. So these two coaches, I think, and oh no, by the way, to all of you, ha-am. Buckeye fans who wanted this guy fired, you're morons. Okay? You're morons. Just like I said you were then, just like I'll say it again now. You're morons. It's a joke.
I just want to point out that I never said he should be fired.
I got your back. I want you to know I have your back in that. So we were talking about this on Bet for the Cycle on Saturday. We talked about this quite a bunch. And I pointed out, we were talking about the Buckeye fans, and I was talking about, specifically, I was talking about you. I said, my executive producer back on my home network, the great one Lonzo, was telling me preseason that if Ryan Day loses to Michigan, that there were going to be Buckeye fans that want him fired. And Cody Decker was like, yeah, those guys are idiots. And I was like, nationally, want to be real clear, Lonzo's not one of them. Lonzo's not one of them, but to all the Buckeye fans out there that wanted this guy canned, you're an idiot. And I hope you wake up today going, man, Rob Brown was right. Maybe I am a little bit of a moron.
Still has to finish the job. He has to win the national championship.
He's got you in the national championship.
I'm talking about those people. And still underneath, they'll still be saying that stuff.
That's real dumb, too.
Well, I agree.
That's real dumb, too.
So, my wife is already looking into getting ready to order national championship t-shirts and gear and stuff.
Sure.
So, I mean, you know.
I think that these two coaches, because remember, one of the two of them is about to become, what are we sitting on right now? Two active coaches that have a national championship trophy? Kirby, Dabo. Is there anybody I'm missing? Nick Saban's out. He's gone. Mac Brown is out. He's gone. I think we have two active coaches with an Addy right now, right? So one of these two is joining that group.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, How are you not looking at these two guys and going, maybe that's the prototype? Maybe that's the type of guy we're looking for. You know, like Bill Belichick. Oh, wait. That's dumb. Hey, we got a lot we got to get to. We got the water cooler cheat sheet coming up next. I don't care what it takes. We're doing faces and heels today. I was thinking about it last night. I got some good ones. So we'll run that back later. We'll talk a little bit more about the NFL's divisional round. We'll get some NFL football in here coming up in a little while. It's going to be a big show. And it all starts off as Lonzo sets the tone for the day with the sports flash.
Hoodie's going to win a national championship next year.
At what?
In football. You'll see. The final spot. He already did as far as dating goes, I suppose. The final spot in the NFL's divisional round, for old guys anyway, was claimed last night by the LA Rams with a 27-9 win over the Minnesota Vikings. Matt Stafford threw for 209 yards and a pair of touchdowns while the defense picked off Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold, sacked him 9 times, and recovered a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. The Rams will face the Eagles in Philly next weekend. Clemson Tigers are working to finalize a contract with their new defensive coordinator, current Penn State DC Tom Allen. ESPN reports the two sides have been in negotiations and are expected to reach a decision in the upcoming days. Allen has spent 1 year in State College, where the Nittany Lions defense was ranked in the top 10 in scoring defense, rush defense, and total defense. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on ETSU in basketball right here on The Fan.